last night at Mass, I failed to mention that yesterday was the feast day of Giordano Anzalone. And when I shared that with Father while he was on vacation, he said, "I'm sure he was a humble servant of Christ." I don't know why he said that. Once a deacon who will not be named was giving a homily, and as he went on, he became more animated. He made this sweeping gesture and knocked his papers to the floor. And he scrambled to pick them up and then asked, Now, where was I?" And a voice came from the congregation, "Right near the end." In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we are at the end, not of the homily, but of the liturgical year. On this final Sunday, we celebrate the feast day of Christ the King. We acknowledge Jesus as King of the universe, of the earth, and of our lives. Today's feast, Christ the King, has an interesting history. Even though the Bible clearly presents Jesus as King, it wasn't until 1925 that the church established a feast day with that title. Pope Pius XI inaugurated this celebration as a response to the totalitarian regimes that emerged in the early 20th century. Those regimes claimed absolute power over their citizens, and they scoffed at the role of God in guiding people's lives. Against this grab for absolute control, the church said, "No, the state does not have the highest authority. That belongs to God." And as Christians, we know that Jesus is God. He is the King over all kings. In our second reading, St. Paul states that all things were created through Jesus and for him. He is before all things preeminent. We belong to Jesus. He is our King. If a government overreaches itself, if it demands a submission that we cannot give, we have a simple, direct response. Jesus is our King. He is King over all kings. We see an example of this from the 1920s. At that time, a totalitarian regime gained control of Mexico, and it tried to suppress the church. To resist the regime, many Christians took up the cry, "Viva Cristo Rey! Long live Christ the King!" They called themselves Cristeros. The most famous Cristero was a young Jesuit priest named Padre Miguel Pro. Using various disguises, Padre Pro ministered to the people of Mexico City, and finally, the government arrested him and sentenced him to public execution. The president of Mexico thought that Padre Pro would beg for mercy, so he invited the press to witness his execution. Padre Pro did not plead for his life, but instead knelt holding the crucifix. When he finished his prayer, he kissed the crucifix and stood up. Holding the crucifix in his right hand, he extended his arms and shouted, "Viva Cristo Rey!" At that moment, the soldiers fired. The journalists took pictures. And if you look up Padre Pro or Blessed Miguel Pro on the internet, you can see the picture. I don't know why anybody would want to see that, but it's there. Like the man in the gospel today, Padre Pro died acknowledging Jesus as King. Hopefully you and I will die with the name of Jesus on our lips and in our hearts. But more important, we will live today acknowledging Christ as our King. Now, we do not live in a totalitarian country, unlike Mexico in the 20s or the Soviet Union or Nazi Germany. We enjoy religious freedom. At the same time, we must be vigilant. Government can and will infringe on what ultimately belongs to God. Let me give you three quick examples. About 40 years ago, our Supreme Court gave the states a huge power. In 1973, the Supreme Court decreed that government could license doctors to take the lives of unborn babies right up to the day of birth. Many welcomed the Supreme Court decision as an extension of freedom. But when people started thinking about it more deeply, it became evident that something else had happened here. The government had assumed power to itself, the power to remove the right to life from a whole class of humans. Once the government crossed that line, it felt pressure to take other steps to force you and me to pay for those procedures. The second example of government outreach happened in several states. In this case, the power applied to the end of the life spectrum. Doctors received license to give people a drug to end their lives. In other words, to commit suicide. Government became involved in something that any Christian must resist. Our lives belong to God, and no one has the right to take their own life or that of another person's, except in cases of self-defense. The third example of government incursion into what belongs to God is the definition of marriage, a lifetime union of one man with one woman. We see that definition in the Bible and in nature. People can accuse us of bigotry and hatred, but that misses the point. I will do everything possible not to hurt someone's feelings, but I will not deny reality. And with God's grace, I will not deny Christ. Marriage comes from God, and government does not legitimately have the power to change what God ordains. It belongs to God. Jesus is King. When a government illegitimately intrudes on those areas, we have to say this: yes, we desire to be good citizens, but ultimately, we do not belong to the government. We belong to God. And we know Christ is God. Jesus is the King over all kings. 9 days ago, I started praying a novena to Christ the King, and it ended today. Novenas are an ancient tradition that goes back, way back to the apostles. Jesus told his disciples to pray together after his ascension into heaven. So they went to an upper room along with Blessed Virgin Mary and joined constantly in prayer for 9 days. This pattern of 9 days of prayer is the basis for the novenas that we pray today. This is the closing prayer for the Christ King novena. If you desire, you may make it your own, and in the silence of your hearts, add your own petition at the appropriate time. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ, our Savior and King, renew in me allegiance to your kingship. I pray for the grace to place you above the powers of this world in all things. I pray for the grace to obey you before any civil authority. I pray for the grace to fervently bring about your kingdom in my family and in my community. I pray that you will reign in my mind, in my heart, in my will, in my body, throughout the world, and in every area of my life. O Prince of Peace, May your reign be complete in my life and in the life of the world. Christ the King, please answer these petitions if they be in accordance with your holy will. Christ the King, your kingdom come. Amen. And lastly, this. In our National Pledge of Allegiance, we state that we are a nation under God. That phrase indicates that the government does not have ultimate authority over people's lives. God does. And I don't know if you know this, but the Knights of Columbus in the 50s are responsible for having the words "under God" inserted in our Pledge of Allegiance. God bless the Knights of Columbus for acknowledging the kingship of God in our nation and helping to remind us of that. Amen. Now, lastly, I have some homework for you. This morning in the prayer of the church, the Liturgy of the Hours, I prayed Psalm 2 and Psalm 72, which foretells the coming of this great king. It's only the two times in 300 times that happens throughout Scripture. But here we are on Christ the King Sunday. We're at the advent of Advent. And that is a great, just a wonderful leading into the Advent season. So I invite you to, when you get home sometime today, and do it if you wish to, and if you're too busy, I understand, but pick up your Bible and read Psalm 2 and Psalm 72. I'm sure that it will enhance your Advent experience. Amen.